So would you state your name and ABC number for the record?
Jimmy Lee Williams, ABC number 085998.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Committee inasmuch as you have been certified by the Department of Corrections for a 412B411 hearing today. That is 412B is to move you to your next and second sentence for 411 absolute discharge, which means that you would not be walking out today, but this would give you an opportunity to move up to your next consecutive sentence. Is that your understanding, sir?
Yes.
And although you cannot see us because we're doing this by telephone, there are 5 board members participating in your hearing today, and they are the Honorable Mr. Rudy Kiwanis, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, the Honorable Ms. Neal Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, and my name is C.T. Wright. I'm going to serve as your panel chair at this time, sir. Based on the information, I'm just going to make a few comments, and anything that I say that may or may not be correct, that you can feel free to correct me, because sometimes we misplace something, or sometimes, in fact, AIMS or some other system might not be correct. So please listen and tell me if I said any information that's incorrect. Based upon the information that we have, that I have now, you're currently serving three sentences at this point. They all are aggravated assault. Each one of them is for 26 years, and they are running concurrent. And the sentences have now beginning on November 1st, 1992, as all three of them, and that you became parole eligible, or you will become parole eligible on August 28th, 2018, which means that even if we move you to your next consecutive sentence, it will not become effective until August 28th, 2018, and your SED date on these three sentences would be November 1st, 2018. Now, is that information correct to the best of your knowledge, sir?
I'm not quite is your understanding that my 26-year sentence flat, or?
Yes, it is flat, and the SED date will be November 1st, 2018. So before the end of this year, the flat will be up, sir. They're running concurrent, sir.
Okay, yeah, that's incorrect. I'm not serving a 26-year flat sentence.
What are you serving, sir?
I was originally serving life, a life sentence without parole eligibility until serving 25 flat years. My sentence was commuted in 2002 to 26 years, and it was later corrected because I couldn't, when it was commuted, I couldn't be given more time. My sentence couldn't be made 26 years flat when I was eligible for parole after serving 25 flat years. So that was supposed to have been corrected. I received a document stating that that was corrected, but it seems that the record that you have, it may not have been correct. Well, it may not have been correct, but I do have documentation from years ago that verified that I am doing a 25 flat year sentence. And the year, it's just like my life was converted into a year, basically.
Okay. Well, I think, either way, you're going to, as it relates to this sentence, if I'm reading this correct, are these three, the sentences for aggravated assault, the SED date on those will be November 1st of this year. So November 1st, they will be up regardless of what this board does today. So,
right, okay.
Okay, so that's my understanding, sir. Now, and then you will go to your next consecutive sentence, and that is the one for promoting prison contraband. And that's 6 months, sentence there. And the information that we have, it would begin July 14, 2018, and your ERC date would be December 17, 2018, and the SED date would be that of January 12, 2019. That's the information that we have, sir.
Okay.
So regardless of what the board does, if the board does not agree to your next consecutive sentence, if I'm not misinterpreting this, you're going to be out come January at the latest, January 12 or 2019. So you will be on your way out the door at any rate, sir. So you don't have that much time left at any rate, unless you do something wrong. If you commit another crime or something, then that's a different story, sir.
Okay.
Is that kind of your understanding, sir? Is that your understanding? Not kind of understanding. Is that your understanding, sir?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure that we're on the same page. Okay. So we're on the same page here now. Okay. Is that the understanding of board members? Do the board members have any changes? Okay. Just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. So you're on your way, sir. So you're going to be out very shortly, in less than a year. You're going to be out, but we have to go through this process, sir. Okay, sir, based on information that we have, the last time you appeared before this board would have been March 7, 1995, and at that time that was a special hearing, and you recommended to the governor, but apparently the governor did not accept the recommendation of this board. Based on information that we have, the crime itself took place back on November 1st, 1992 in Coolidge, Arizona. The Coolidge Police Department was advised of a shooting and that there were three victims, Ms. Carr, Mr. Moore, and Ms. Kelly. And the victims had been in Ms. Kelly's vehicle in Eloy. When you, Mr. Williams, when you approached it and to speak to Ms. Carr, when the two of you had a previous relationship, and you were angry at the time, according to information we have, that she was with Mr. Moore, and Ms. Kelly left Eloy and went to us. Coolidge, and you followed them in another vehicle, and you tried to block their vehicle, and you fired one or two shots at their vehicle, and you were later arrested in Coolidge, and you, at the time, you were on parole, and you had a .22 caliber handgun that you used to commit the offense, and you also pointed out, according to the pre-sentence report, that you and Ms. Carr, y'all had had a relationship in the past, and that she had actually set you up with an undercover officer back in 1989. Okay, so is that information correct, incorrect, or what do we need to change, sir?
As far as it relates to the present case, the aggravated assault, the information is correct. My memory is vague as to the 1980-something case.
1989, yes, sir.
Yes,
well,
my memory is.
And that has nothing to do with this one, as you know, because this time we're only looking at the aggravated assault, the three aggravated assaults, but I just put that in the record because it was part of the pre-sentence report, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Okay, sir, and you had had a criminal record in the past. As I said, you had been on probation between 1983 and 1988. As a juvenile, you had had 21 arrests. I didn't say that you were guilty, but you had had 21 arrests between 1983 and 1988. And as an adult, between 1989 and 1991, you had three arrests during that period, and the one reason that you have to move to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge is because on March 7, 2017, while you were incarcerated, you were promoting prison contraband. I think it was the cell phone. Am I correct? What was going on there, sir? That you ended up with this prison contraband, which was a major, sir.
Yes, I was caught with a cell phone back in March the 7th, 2017. I had it for a while. I was using it to communicate with my daughter, wife, friends, and family, you know, to keep the bond with my loved ones. That was the sole purpose in the phone. I wasn't trying to circumvent the security or anything like that. That was the whole purpose in me having the phone. I shouldn't have had it. I knew it was against the law, but my interest in maintaining, you know, communication with family and loved ones outweighed my better judgment, and that led to me obtaining the cell phone, which ultimately resulted in me catching this consecutive sentence that I will be serving here in the near future.
Okay, sir. And just so that we can move on, I do take note that you've had some programming. You have three listed. One was you did complete your GED since you've been incarcerated. Am I correct, sir?
And yes, sir.
You had cognitive thinking, that program, as well as custodian maintenance training. And we do take note that when you are released, which will not be today, but when you are released in the near future, that you will be residing with your wife. Is that still what you plan to do, sir?
Yes, sir.
And that's in Phoenix. How long have you been married, sir? Because you've been incarcerated there for a while. How long have you been married?
Me and my wife got married on Valentine's Day in 2006.
Oh, okay. Well, how did you meet her? She was an old girlfriend, or what happens to her? How you end up coming together, sir?
I've been knowing her all of my life. We're both from Eloy, Arizona, and went to school together. We started dating in 1988, and 4 years later, I caught this case involving my ex and Mr. Moore, and she's been with me ever since, and we decided that we would go ahead and make it official on Valentine's Day in 2006.
Okay,
so I've been knowing her most of my life, though. So all of my life.
So you said y'all had a good marriage. I mean, although you've been incarcerated and she's been on the outside since 06, so y'all had a productive marriage, and hopefully, and I'm going to use the word hopefully, because we trust that you won't do anything wrong between then and then, but hopefully you'll be out next year, and so y'all will be able to have a normal marriage at that time. Is that your plan, sir?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And just for the record, we do have a letter from your wife as well as one from your daughter supporting you, sir, and I just wanted to put that on the record as well, sir. And I also take note that you will be applying for work at the Amazon warehouse in Phoenix, because you have some relatives employed there at this time. Is that correct, sir?
Yes.
Okay. And also said that at some point, Mr. William believed he may need counseling since he's been incarcerated for 26 years. What type of counseling? Have you thought about what type of counseling you might need since you've been incarcerated for 26 years, sir?
Some type of a therapy revolving around, I've been here for a long time, and I'm just assuming that this may, being here for so long, may have had some type of impact on me that I may not even realize. So just to try to obtain some balance in my life so that I can go out and be a productive member of society, you know, be a better man for my family. And if there's any problems, I would like to try to sort that out. I can't say that there are any problems, but if there is, I would like to seek counseling, some type of therapy to uncover that and get it resolved.
Okay, sir. Well, that's a great idea. You know, after being incarcerated that many years, it would be good for you to take whatever counseling that might be available, because things are quite different now than they were when you were initially incarcerated. I can assure you of that, because some of us who have not been incarcerated, we still get lost with all this modern technology and all these modern things that go on today. And just for the record, I do take note that you have had a couple of majors in addition to the promotion of Prison Country Band. You have one major in November 2016, as well as in March of 2017, possession of a communication device. And So I just would go on the record with that. But now I'm going to give you an opportunity to say anything else you want to say to the board at this time, and then I'm going to ask board members if they might have some questions for you. Anything else you want to share with the board at this time, sir?
Nothing other than I'm ready to get out and get my life started, take one day at a time, one step at a time. My family, they love me and miss me, of course. I miss them. I miss being at my freedom. I'm not the same person that I was at the age of 21. Of course, I've changed a lot. I think that goes without saying. I still have my my faults. I'm not perfect, but I'm a lot better person than I was at the age of 21, now being 47. So that's all I would like to really put out there. I'm not the same person. I made a lot of changes.
Thank you, sir. And listen, I'm going to see board member White have some questions for you at this time. Board members, any questions at this time for Mr. Williams? Okay, you are blessed, sir. I don't see any questions coming from any board members at this time. Therefore, if there are no questions, I ask that question again. Since there are no questions, sir, we are coming to a stand of your hearing, and I guess one reason there are no questions is because you're going to be getting out at any rate in the near future, so there are no questions. But we are coming to a stand of your hearing. We're going to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion and make its determination for today. Anything else you want to tell the board without repeating yourself, sir?
No, I think I pretty much summed it up.
Okay, thank you. So very much, Mr. Williams. At this time, the board is going into discussion, and it may sound as we're talking to you, but we're not. We'll just be talking among ourselves. This will be the first time that the five of us will have an opportunity to discuss your case at this particular time. The board is going into discussion. We're going to ask that you remain quiet, and following this discussion, the board will make its decision. But we're going to ask you that you would stay on the phone, sir, because we're part of the open meeting laws in Arizona, and because of that, you will... You can listen to everything that's being said, sir. The board is now in discussion. I find Mr. Williams a very interesting gentleman. He's just 47 years of age, and as I stated, one way or the other, he will either be out in December of this year or January of next year, which means that his time is winding up as it relates to the Department of Corrections, unless he makes some serious errors, and we trust that he won't make any serious errors between there and the time that he is scheduled to be released. And I think that as much as we where we are, the three offenses are all aggravated assault, they were running concurrent, and so as a result of that, they will be coming to an end November the 1st of 2018, and then he will move to his consecutive sentence of 6 months, and that would end his stay at this time with DOC. And with that being said, I think at this time I would think that would not be necessary to move him forward, because he's going to be out next year at any rate, until the end of this year. So I'm prepared to listen to other board members at this time.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to move at this time to I'm going to move to grant him to move him to his next consecutive sentence, which would be a 412A, but to deny absolute discharge. And that is my motion.
Second.
Okay, motion seconded by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, and agreed by the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis, the Honorable Mr. Neal, and the Honorable Mr. Johnson. So, sir, you will, this is 412B, and this will be, you will, so this will be 412B, moving to your next consecutive sentence. And so, sir, That will end your hearing unless you have something else that you would like to say to the board at this time, sir.
Just, I appreciate being paroled to my consecutive sentence, and when I'm out of here, I'm going to do my best to make sure that there's no regrets as far as making that determination.
Well, we trust that it will not be. We're sorry that you have these many years to have been incarcerated, but you will have your freedom. Ask that you take advantage of it. Be a productive citizen, because you're still a young man, 47 years of age, and that means that you still have a long life before you. So please, sir, just be good and go out there and take care of your wife and your daughter and other relatives and friends. And we wish you the best, and I think that we probably, you probably won't come before this board again before you actually release that. So I'm just going to say good luck, sir. So,
all right.
So this will end your hearing, and sir, this is it, sir. Thank you.